Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Independence Nation on the Light of Life Network. I know it's been a long time since I've been on the air, and I just wanted to come on the air and expose some things, as you may have read in the notes, concerning the government, being the IRS, trying to stop my nonprofit organization, to stop the money to the nonprofit, as well as the Chattanooga Police Department, who has risen up against me, and I've been going through some real trials and tribulations. As the good book says, Yahweh says that in the last days that even Christians shall rise against Christian and turning each other in and trying to stop one another, and we are definitely in those times. But let me go ahead and try to get through all of this information. I know it's going to be a lot to swallow today, and even maybe a lot to fathom. But we'll go ahead and get through all of this information today. And it begins with in 2001, where I was an officer at the Belmont Correctional Institution, and I decided to get involved with a company called SMC, the Specialty Merchandise Corporation. And through the Specialty Merchandise Corporation, I created a online website, an e-commerce store called knickknacksplus.com. And at that time, a corrupt officer by the name of Richard, a.k.a. Dick Flanagan of the Belair Police Department, was hacking my computer, and apparently he stole some money involved with my online store, knickknacksplus.com. I knew this because a brother of mine, one of my youngest brothers, Marcus Pitts, who was one of Dick Flanagan's informants at the time, came to me and to my home and told me, "Hey, Dick is hacking your computer, and he's doing all types of things on your computer." And therefore, that's where I knew and put two and two together that it was Dick Flanagan that had been stealing the money from the store knickknacksplus.com. It's also important to say that at that time, he has a cousin by the name of Kevin Flanagan. Currently, he's a he works as a public defender in the public defender's office. But back then, and at this time in 2001, he was actually working as basically as an interim, I guess you can call it, a judge. He was in the place of another judge who was out sick, and basically he was a judge at that time. And I believe that he was involved because in order for Dick Flanagan to have hacked my computer, only two things could have occurred. Either one, he was doing it without justification of the legal system, or two, he had gotten his cousin Kevin Flanagan, who was, as I said, a judge at the time, to sign a warrant in order to hack my computer. And so I knew that this had occurred, and I pondered it because for a few years, because back then I didn't even know what hacking was. It was all new to me, as computers were new to me as well. As a matter of fact, a short story, when I attended the University of Pittsburgh, I took a computer class, and a friend of mine was sitting next to me, and the instructor came out and said, "Okay, everyone, boot your computers." I had to lean over and ask my friend exactly what does that mean, because we didn't have computers at our high school. And so in 2001, all that was new to me, and so I had never heard of hacking before. So later on, it was about 2007, I decided to contact the FBI concerning what he had done. Now, this is the situation at hand because we moved from making money with knickknacksplus.com, and therefore, because Dick Flanagan was an employee of the state is liable for what he had done, and also they were well aware of who I was because I was, as I said, an officer as well. At that time, all of the local officers visited a bar, you know, on a day's off, and the bar was actually Flanagan's bar, which he has stake in. His brother Sean Flanagan runs it, but Dick Flanagan has stake in the bar. So we all actually hung out together, and I knew these people. I knew how they operated, and so I began to understand that, okay, he's hacking my computer. I did try to throw him an olive leaf, but he didn't accept it, and then further tried to do things to set me up as well. And so we moved further into 2007 and up into this very time. I've been going through a situation where I also, during that period of time, created a nonprofit called Light of Life, and Light of Life just happened to bring in some donations. And so what I'm facing is a situation where money was already stolen from me, from a person who's supposed to be a peace officer and supposed to be doing the right things. As a matter of fact, you can look Dick Flanagan up on YouTube where he's screaming in a little old lady's face, and a little old lady in a wheelchair, he's screaming in her face. You can look him up. There was a rally, in 2013, there was a rally and picketing and outside the Blair Police Department concerning his corruption. He went in the community calling people racial slurs, calling people of color the N-word, and he's done these types of things over the years. And believe me, I'm well aware of the things that he's done, even concerning doing things like beating up drug dealers, taking their drugs and money for his own personal gain. And right with him the whole time has been his cousin, Kevin Flanagan, who covers things up for when he does it. And see, during this time, as I said, Kevin was acting judge at that time. And so Dick Flanagan felt like he could do anything. He can do anything to anyone he wanted to do it to. And that was okay. And so we come through this situation where I've already had money taken away and possibly being held by the state of Ohio, who's well aware of the situation by now, until even this very day of creating the nonprofit Light of Life. And Light of Life just happened to gain donations, and it seems to me that they are now up to it again, as they have gotten the IRS to withhold, to get the state of Tennessee and even the Chattanooga Police Department to be involved in withholding the money and then shipping it off to the IRS and shipping responsibility to the IRS from withholding the money from me so I do not receive it, so I cannot continue my nonprofit organization. Because the biggest thing that the government does to try to downplay someone who's willing to speak out about what they're doing is to make you look mentally ill, to make you look like you're a liar, you're a deceiver, and that you are mentally ill, and that they are the good ones, and they are the ones who do the good things. Even in the time of Prohibition, we find that the government, they intentionally put poison in beer for people to drink, knowing that people would die. Listen, what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that I'm in a situation here where I'm facing people that will do anything to be able to keep the money that they're withholding from me. And even if they have to make me look mentally ill, and then after they get me out of the way in some respects, then deliver that money to my parents or whoever they can deliver to and keep it from my hands. Now, unfortunately, my parents are involved in this situation. In 2008, my mother gave me a ride to the doctors. I had to undergo what is called a tonsillectomy. Of course, anyone who knows that when you are undergoing a tonsillectomy, you have to be under anesthesia. Well, while messed up on anesthesia, she had me sign over my money and power of attorney over to her so she can be involved in withholding my money from me and involved in basically she don't mind being corrupt in this whole situation. And for years she has propagated herself as being someone who is an evangelist and someone who is serves the Lord and basically she's pious and she walks with a higher level of piety, and we find out that she does not. She does not. She's a part of this whole situation. Once again, as I was messed up under anesthesia, she had me sign my power of attorney and money over to her. Now, I was kind of going in and out, so I remember parts of it, and I'm not sure if I actually signed it. It's quite possible that she just decided to sign the thing herself, because I was basically in and out, and I did not really know what was going on, to the fullest extent. And so she did that in 2008, and basically what we find here is that this is their opportunity to finally gain money that they can't do on their own, because they know that I have been a person who's been able to figure out business and basically grow my business acumen over the years. I actually started out at 10 years old with my first business, and anyone who grew up in Bel Air, Ohio, can tell you that I had a little bike repair shop. I have 7 brothers and 3 sisters, so there were a lot of bikes and bike parts around. So my first business was fixing up bikes, and I did that for the kids of the community and accepted dollar bills and candy, and then sold the candy at school at lunchtime. So what am I trying to say? I'm just trying to say that I basically have grown business acumen over the years. I do have a level of understanding of business, and perhaps inherit from God understanding of business, because all of this couldn't possibly be on my own accord. But I'd like to also say and stress that my grandmother, her name was Bertha Tolliver, and she was very beloved by the family, and she really was a woman of God and upheld the standards of the Bible. And in 2014, she passed away. Now, before she passed away, she let me know that, hey, Keith, your mother did steal money from you. And she pleaded with me before she passed away that please do not sue her and do not send her to prison for stealing your money. And of course, that was one of the last conversations we had, because later that day she died in, I believe, the Martins Ferry Hospital. And so I remember what she told me. I remember the points that she got across to me concerning my mother being involved in this corruption. And so there is a certain level of corruption here where my parents are involved, and of course they have threatened me to put me in a mental health facility if I continue to talk about the money. They didn't deny that there was money, but they keep trying to make me look mentally ill if I talk about the money, and have done so and contacting the Chattanooga Police Department. Of course, my mother does have family that is with the Chattanooga Police Department. Her cousin Faye, of course, my sister, is a dispatcher. And so she has people who are public officials that can help her in this situation. But this is why I'm reaching out to you, that we completely expose these lies, that people will understand completely that I am not mentally ill. I have done nothing wrong to anyone, so the police can't, they don't have a reason to harass me. They don't have a reason to twist my words and make up lies about me, as the Chattanooga Police Department has done. As a matter of fact, I recently took the liberty of filing a complaint with the Chattanooga Police Department. When I filed the complaint with an officer, D. Lewis, he said his officer number was 863, and filed the complaint, and he completely twisted what I said and completely lied concerning my complaint to try to make me look dumbed down and foolish. Because why? Because when you follow the things that I've done in my life, so let's take a look at some of the things I've done in my life. I was told that I would never make it to college. I made it to the University of Pittsburgh. I was told by people who were my former coaches that I would never make the football team. I made the football team and was basically well-loved and received by the football players there at the University of Pittsburgh. A lot of great people, Curtis McGee, Billy West, who is actually a cousin of mine. There was a lot of great people, John Jones, John Jenkins, of course, Anthony Dorsett. Of course, I'm talking about Tony Dorsett's son, Anthony. And there were a lot of great people there with me, and I learned a lot from these outstanding people. And, of course, Johnny Majors, who was my coach at the time, and then later Walt Harris, and one of the greatest coaches I have ever had, and Buddy Morris. So I went on from there and became a public official. Of course, I played indoor football before I became a public official, but I became a public official at the Belmont Correctional Institution, and then later moved down here to Chattanooga. Of course, I made it in that time, knickknacksplus.com, which was successful, and moved down here and created Light of Life, which is the nonprofit organization of which I am the president. And so you can see throughout my life that really Yahweh has been with me, and he has blessed me, and I have made things in I guess large leaps, I guess I could call them, where people thought that I wouldn't amount to anything, but Yahweh has blessed me throughout my life. But now they are trying to take away the things that I've done. They have gone on to my social media sites, MySpace and Facebook. They've said things that wasn't me. They were pretending to be me, saying different things. And they have sent people emails pretending to be me, nasty emails. They just do whatever they can to try to stop what God has built in me. And so we come to this point where we have to speak up. I have to say something in this situation. I cannot just let people just try to make me look foolish and make me look dumbed down, pretend that I'm mentally ill. And if those of you who don't know, back in 2014, Dick Flanagan was involved, and the local police departments were involved, and set me up to go to prison. They had a guy kick my door and run just about every evening, and when I would not run and chase him down, they had him come through my window. At that time, I did take action against him. I beat him up. And so when the police got there, they did not do anything to him. They came straight to me. And, of course, there was a friend of mine by the name of Brandt, and he had told me that there were two guys next door that were undercovers and that they were watching someone who was a drug dealer. So I didn't pay any attention, but I didn't recognize the two guys that he pointed out. And later, after when the police came to pick me up from the guy coming through my window, the guy who came through my window was standing with the two people he said were undercovers, and I realized then that they weren't watching someone else, that they were watching me. And the whole thing was a setup. Of course, they sent me to Appalachian Behavioral Health Care, and they sent me there for 9 months. And while I was there, the workers there realized that there was nothing wrong with me and that there was collusion involved, because I told them about my nonprofit, and people went online to MySpace, and they saw pictures of me and people in my nonprofit giving out food. And then after I had told them about it, a week or two later, the pictures just disappeared off of MySpace. And so they knew something was wrong and that there was collusion involved, and so they began to stand up for me and got me out of there. But, of course, they continued, the people of the High Valley continued, the court system continued to send me to prison for an additional 9 months. And so... And this is all about this money from knickknacksplus.com and the money that I brought in through the nonprofit Light of Life. And so, yes, I need your help in this situation, not only to go and tell your local FBI face-to-face, but I also need you to spread this information, spread links to this information to whomever will listen to help me in this situation. And even if you can, if you can deliver to me a donation, that would be good, because right now they're withholding all money from me, so I can't live, I can't provide for my beautiful daughters. They're withholding all the money they can from me to try to get me to do something and gain leverage over me, get me to do something back to them to gain leverage over what they have done. And so I reside now at this point at 4511 Haynes Lane, that's H-A-Y-N-E-S Lane, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37416. But if you can come to me and deliver to me a donation to get through this situation, to make it to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to sit before the FBI there on East Carson Street, and to pass the bar and be able to second chair to make sure that nothing is lost in discovery in this situation and that everyone involved is brought to justice. It was Edmund Burke who said that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is that good men and women do nothing. And I urge you to not just sit by and do nothing. I'm asking you to help me in this situation. Once again, spread the link, spread the information concerning this situation, and if you can, come and deliver me a donation in my hand. This is Keith Pitts. I'm signing off. I hope to continue to do some radio shows in the future, but please pray for me. Pray for my beautiful daughters. I have four beautiful daughters, the oldest one who's graduating from high school. And I need you to say a prayer for me, say a prayer for them, and keep us in mind. This is Keith Pitts signing off. I'll see you next time.